Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Spring marks the annual storm spotter training seminars. The Marshall County seminar will be Wednesday, March 30th at the Oquito City Hall beginning at 7 p.m. Storm spotter training is planned in Washington County on Tuesday, April 5th beginning at 7 p.m. Additional details forthcoming. Marysville Chamber of Commerce will host their annual legislative forum Saturday, March 19th beginning at 9 a.m. Kansas Senator Elaine Bowers, Kansas Representative Sharon Swartz will be on hand to address comments Saturday, March 19. Firemen from Morroville, Lynn, Palmer, and Washington were called February 29th to a house fire at 940 13th Road in Washington County. Multiple search warrants were executed March 1st at 2070 Yukon Boulevard in Washington County. As a result of these warrants, a marijuana grow operation was discovered and dismantled, along with a seizure of drugs and drug paraphernalia. Investigation continues and reports will be sent to the county attorney. Marshall County Sheriff's Office is asking the public be on the lookout for a Chevy Silverado pickup reportedly stolen overnight in the Oquito area. The pickup is a 1999 Z71 extended cab, burgundy on top with silver bottom, and has chrome bed and step rails. The vehicle has a Kansas Jayhawk tag on the front. The license tag is Kansas 845 DWA. The pickup was taken sometime between 1 and about 4:30 a.m. Contact authorities with any information. The Marshall County Sheriff's Department number is 562-3141. Again, seeking the whereabouts of a Chevy Silverado pickup, a 99 model Z71 extended cab, burgundy on top with a silver bottom, chrome bed and step rails, Kansas license tag 845 DWA. Robert Dean Burton, age 84, of Washington, formerly of Haddam, passed away Thursday. Funeral service Friday, 10 a.m. at the Christian Church, Morroville. Burial in the Hickory Grove Cemetery, Haddam. Ward Funeral Home of Washington in charge of arrangements for Robert Burton. Mary Jane Foley passed away February 29th. A memorial service is planned Thursday, 10:30 a.m. at St. Gregory's Catholic Church, Marysville. Family request no flowers. That is services for Mary Jane Foley. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch Menu, lasagna, garlic bread, salad, and apricots. Tomorrow, tater tot casserole with mixed veggie, muffin, beets, and lemon salad. KNDY News, time is 7:14.
What happened?
This house is too small.
So let's buy a new house.
But we can't afford a new house. Money doesn't grow on trees.
That's why we'll go to United Bank and Trust. I heard they have low mortgage rates that are affordable for everyone.
Well, then let's go right now.
Stop and see me, Nick Wolf, at United Bank and Trust to talk about getting your new home loan process started, or visit us online at www.ubankonline.com. UBank, we deliver. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The birds are chirping and the sun is shining in Frankfort, Kansas, where it's the spring open house at Elsie Grace's and the treasure chest in downtown Frankfort. There are new spring items, store-wide sales, and tastings every day at Elsie Grace's, and just around the corner at the treasure chest, the merchandise changes daily. Celebrate spring Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 9 until 5 at Elsie Grace's and the treasure chest in Frankfort. The birds are chirping and the sun is shining in Frankfort, Kansas, where it's the spring open house at Elsie Grace's and the treasure chest in downtown Frankfort. There are new spring items, store-wide sales, and tastings every day at Elsie Grace's, and just around the corner at the treasure chest, the merchandise changes daily. Celebrate spring Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 9 until 5 at Elsie Grace's and the treasure chest in Frankfort.
Here's your KNDY Weather Eye forecast, powered by WeatherAlgae.com for northeast Kansas and southeastern Nebraska. We'll continue to have some instability throughout the area tonight, producing more showers and thunderstorms. Higher amounts of precip expected through southeastern Kansas, eastern Missouri, as well as southeastern Iowa, where they could still be seeing anywhere from a half upwards towards an inch of moisture over the next 3 days. Much drier as you head into the north and west of that line. It looks like we'll have another small system work its way through Wednesday night, and then fairly dry weather for Thursday, Friday. And then as we end the weekend, we'll have another storm system work its way in, bringing in a chance of seeing a few more showers. Temperature trend as we head through our forecast remain unseasonably warm, but for the most part, we're going to see very consistent temperatures as we head through the next few days. We do have a warm-up as we head into Sunday and Monday. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Average high temperature mid-March, 53. Record high on this date, 82 in 1977. The average low, 31. The record low, 4 below 0 in 1967. Sunset this evening, 6:24. Sunrise in the morning at 6:41. Clear skies, 33 degrees. Winds are calm. Barometer, 29.96 inches. Relative humidity, 96%. Just a sprinkle or two Monday, Tuesday is all we got out of the chance for rain. Nothing more on the horizon immediately. That's a check of the morning news and weather for this Wednesday, the 9th of March. KNDY News Time 7:17. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Prepare ye to be inspired by songs of friendship, loyalty, and love. Songs based on the Gospel of Matthew. In concert, Godspell on Palm Sunday, with performances at 2 in the afternoon and 7:30 in the evening at the Memorial Presbyterian Church in Marysville. An eclectic blend of songs tells the story of Jesus' life. In Concert Godspell is sponsored by the Marysville Area Community Theater, the Marshall County Arts Cooperative, and Landmark Enterprises Incorporated. Admission is free.
State basketball pairings released. Games involving area teams. Hanover boys, the number one seed, face 8th seed St. Paul, tipping off Wednesday at 3 in Dodge City. Hanover girls, the number 7 seed, face 2nd seed Hoxie Thursday at 3. The Axtell girls, number 3 seed, face number 6 McPherson Elrea Thursday at 4:45. We'll hear the Hanover girls and boys, Axtell girls games live on KNDY FM 95.5. Plus updates on the Centralia girls and boys teams. Centralia boys, the number 4 seed, face 5th seed Pretty Prairie Wednesday at 4:45. Centralia girls, the number 3 seed, face Kiowa South Barber, the number 6, Thursday at 4:45. All of the 8-man games from Dodge City. Brackets are posted on our website at KNDYradio.com.
This is an Ag Business Update powered by AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. The National Milk Producers Federation Board voted in support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement yesterday, but opposed moving forward with the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. The vote against TTIP was in light of Europe's continued refusal to remove barriers to U.S. dairy exports, but they do say the TPP is a positive step for the U.S. dairy industry. NFPF President and CEO Jim Mulhern said TPP does not concede a huge new surge in imports and has the possibility of later expansion. But on TTIP, he said, that present time, the negotiations have not demonstrated concrete progress towards addressing the food safety challenges and other non-tariff trade barriers. Secretary Vilsack said in a statement he is pleased that the National Milk Producers Federation is joining a long list of agriculture groups in support of TPP. Agriculture officials in China say the country needs to undertake supply-side reforms given bumper harvests and surplus grain stockpiles. In a news conference this week, China's ag minister said the country will no longer pursue increased grain output over the next 5 years after 12 consecutive years of increasing harvest. Reports say the grain surpluses in China are causing problems and putting a financial burden on the government, which is obliged to stockpile crops at artificially high prices to support incomes of farmers. Now, while output itself could not be raised, China will continue to work on boosting production. While output itself could not be raised, China will continue to work to boost productivity capacity. The agricultural official also says raising farmers' incomes will still be a priority over the next 5 years, but with grain prices unlikely to rise, added China must focus on agricultural industrialization and improving technology as well as cutting costs. With this Ag Business Update powered by AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers.
Ag News from Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Craig Mead. The window for a Senate deal on GMO labeling could be closing as both sides dig in for or against mandatory labels. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa suggested three ag Democrats who supported voluntary GMO labeling conditionally in committee could help the GOP's voluntary bill on the floor, but added it may be difficult to move that bill forward.
If we don't get Senator Stabenow probably satisfied to some degree, it may be difficult to get it up. But we're going to have to try because we can't come up to this July 1st deadline in Vermont. And right now, these companies ought to know what they're doing because they have to supply Vermont ahead of July the 1st with their products.
Senate Democrats vow to fight the GOP voluntary labeling bill despite support by hundreds of farm and food groups. Asked if the GOP could support any type of national uniform labeling, Grassley defended the committee passed voluntary approach.
We don't write those specifics in law for two reasons. One, it may be difficult to put it into law. And number two, things change from time to time, so how far into the future do you look? But also because you can't get the votes to pass a specific piece of legislation. So then this is all turned over to the Secretary of Agriculture.
Secretary Vilsack, who supports mandatory labeling, told the National Farmers Union at their just-ended convention last week that if lawmakers cannot make the tough decisions on GMO labeling, that they do need to turn things over to the USDA. Asked about Vilsack's call to leave it up to the USDA, Grassley says,
"Well, that's what the bill does, and so you got to be able to get the votes, get the bill passed, or you can't do what he said."
Grassley said, "Without logic, it is hard to see a path forward on GMO labeling." Ag News from Mid-America Ag Network.
Cattlemen, it's time to make the most significant investment to your cow herds. Herd Bull selection is as influential to your cow herd and your bottom line as anything. I, John McCurry, invite you to attend the McCurry Angus Ranch 39th Anniversary Bull Sale, March 10th in Burton, Kansas. Selling will be 125 high-quality Angus bulls by sires such as Resource, Bismarck, Final Answer, Thunder, Confidence, and Sub-Zero. The offering has 90 fall-long yearlings and 35 springs, and 75% of those bulls are heifer eligible. I encourage you to visit McCurryAngus.com to view individual videos and request a catalog, or call me, John McCurry, at 620-727-5197. Again, that's 620-727-5197. Or go to www.mccurryangus.com for information about the McCurry Angus 39th Anniversary Bull Sale, March 10th in Burton, Kansas.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most essential industry, agriculture. Let's talk about cover crops after this.
Farming America is brought to you by Stories from the Heartland by Max Armstrong. As one of America's favorite farm broadcasters for over 40 years, Max has been spreading the good word about the great work being done by the men and women who feed the world. Max has met some fascinating people along the way, and his book, Stories from the Heartland, is a beautiful, hardcover, full-color tribute to those people and to the American farmer. Max's book is available at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon, but for an autographed copy, go to MaxArmstrongBook.com and look for the Farming America window for a special price. That's MaxArmstrongBook.com for your autographed copy. The farmer in your life will love this book. The website again, MaxArmstrongBook.com. Now, if you have a book you'd like to publish, contact Max's publishers and they'll chat with you about options. You can find their contact information on Max's website, MaxArmstrongBook.com.
Oh my, there have been a lot of changes in agriculture in my lifetime, and while I don't consider myself elderly, there are a lot more years behind me than there are in front of me. One of the big changes has been no-till farming, what my Uncle Pack years and years ago used to call slop farming, thinking it was just laziness on the part of those first farmers who started out the spring without a freshly plowed field. Well, things have certainly changed. No-till is in the majority, and on top of that, cover crop planting is at record levels. In the state of Iowa, farmers planted an estimated 500,000 cover crop acres last year, a record that is expected to be broken this fall. But many of those farmers are struggling to find a foolproof way to get consistent cover crop establishment. Jason Johnson is a public affairs specialist with the USDA in Des Moines. He says lack of rainfall and cool temperatures are cover crop growth obstacles which cannot be controlled. But he says one thing that can be controlled is this spring choosing the right herbicide for corn and soybeans that will reduce potentially injuring cover crops which are seeded in the fall. The USDA's Barb Stewart, a state agronomist in Iowa, says what herbicide you choose to use in the spring will definitely have an effect on success of cover crops in the fall. She says in most cases there is a short time period between cover crop planting date and the onset of cooler fall temperatures, which increases the risk that herbicides pose to cover crops. According to a new Iowa State University report titled The Effect of Residual Herbicides on Cover Crop Establishment, The threat posed by herbicides to cover crop is determined by the chemical's half-life and availability in the soil, sensitivity of the cover crop, herbicide application rate and date, and environmental conditions throughout the growing season. The researchers took a look at five cover crop species, and radishes tended to be the most sensitive cover crop evaluated, while cereal rye seemed to be the most tolerant to herbicides. Now, if you plan to graze your cover crop, Barb Stewart of the USDA offers another caution. She says livestock producers who use cover crops for livestock forage should consider the grazing restrictions that are explained on labels of herbicides which are applied earlier in the growing season. Lots to think about which cover crop you choose to plant. Back after this.
Dykeman Sementals and Haney Hawk Angus Ranch announce a premium genetics bull sale on Friday, March 11th at 3:30 at the Kansas Bull Development near Wamego, selling 45 bulls, Semental and Sem Angus yearlings, a Semental herd sire, 15 to 18 month old Angus bulls, and some Angus yearlings. At a premium genetics bull sale on Friday, March 11th, call 785-556-0319 for more information.
I do have to agree with my late Uncle Pack that there was something really nice and clean and symmetrical about a freshly plowed field, not to mention the way it smelled. It smelled so good. But those days are gone, right? For now. Farming America is a presentation of the Tribune Radio Network. I'm Steve Alexander.